Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect. I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design, and technology, facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening.
Good morning, my time. It's almost evening in your Iraq time. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So then we start with the first question. Who are you? Please introduce yourself and your studio.
Hello. We are Atelier Alter Architects. My name is Xiaojun Bu, and this is Yingfan Zhang. We are the two partners of this firm. Our firm is founded 2009 in New York, and then we moved back to Beijing in 2010. And then we practiced almost 12 years in China, and sometime we practiced in New York. So that's the our firm, the structure of the firm over these years. We studied in Tsinghua University and Harvard University. And Yingfan got her undergraduate from Cooper Union and graduate from Harvard University. And both of us worked in New York around 3 or 4 years before we opened our own firm.
In which office did you work there?
I was working for SOM New York.
And I was working for RMGN New York. And before that, I used to work for Atelier Raymond Abraham.
And why did you decide to move back? I mean, New York is a super interesting city, but you decided to go back to China, right?
Yes. The reason why is because we have lots of project opportunities in China, and there's different kind of, you know, project all around, and it's more challenging in a way for young architects to build a practice in mainland China.
Yeah, at that moment, we won a huge competition, which made up with five museums in Yunnan province of China. So if we want to have the building built, so we need to move back to China rather than practice in United States.
And then, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
After 6 years, they are all built. Meanwhile, we did a lot of competition in China, and then we won some public building competitions. So it went well.
Yes, I saw your website. There are a lot of projects, and I was like, wow, they worked a lot in a really short amount of time.
Yes, it is.
But before we get into this deeper, I have some warm-up questions for you, so the listener gets to know who I'm talking to a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
Mine is Diet Coke.
Really?
Yes. I don't enjoy wine a lot. I don't enjoy smoke. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. For me, it might be just water. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any favorite drinks.
No, you have. You have, like, you know, soup.
Yeah, it's different.
Soup and tea.
That's not drink.
She made up her own recipe of tea every morning.
Some
you know,
flower tea.
With ginseng, with...
I don't know.
With flowers.
Dates.
It really depends on the morning mood.
It's very poetic in a way.
Also with flowers, wow.
Yes,
it's not just a normal tea bag that you put in the water.
Yes, they're bags.
If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for? You can wish for anything, to fly, to do magic. What would you wish for?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to fly, maybe.
No, I think we are, I think currently what I'm trying to learn is the sculpting skill. And also, you know, our firm is in this economic condition, I'm trying to learn some skill of business development. I'm very practical. Yeah.
So you don't want to fly or to beam yourself somewhere or to stop time.
Yeah, that's a bit in the movie, right?
Yes. What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Yes.
Philosophy?
Philosophy?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could... currently, I'm working on a side hobby of 3D printing. I spend a lot of time... I'm a very good photographer in building, in architecture shooting. I developed through years of architecture practice. It was a lot of fun. But right now I'm really interested in 3D printing. I bought a 3D printer and then I learned a lot of that kind of, it's very relevant to our career, but it's, normally, you know, young people did it, will do it, but I'm really interested in.
But that sounds really, really good. That it's also connected to architecture, so actually all the time.
Let me show you one thing. This is for housing for small animals. Can you see this?
No, now I see.
Yeah, it's house for dog and house for cats. I'm trying to set up a prototype of this.
That's amazing.
The cage, usually it's hard to design by hand, but this is really, there is a magnetic connection.
Yeah.
See that? So you put it together. So it's hard to find spare time in office. So this is interesting. Sorry for interruption. What was your question?
No, that's a good design. Do you have cats?
No, I don't. I have two girls.
But there are a lot of people that probably might like this.
Right.
Including me.
Thank you.
So my question was, as you mentioned, you do a lot of competition. How do you start? Do you stick to a set of rules? Or do you have to clear your mind and walk in nature and then come back? Or how do you start? And you do it separate from each other? Or do you read the outline together and then you draw together? Or how do you start?
We usually stick to cultural projects or competition, like museum, art galleries, libraries, and so forth. We don't do much other typologies, other type of architectures on competitions because we have a limited amount of time. Most of our time we focus on practical projects that we are going to realize. So with the time that we have on competitions, we try to combine competition, practice, and our theory together. So it's a way for us to further develop our academic studies to see how it expands in the practical field. So as we do architecture competitions, we usually, I would be the one who usually do the beginning of the competition, the reading of the request, the summary of the project and so forth, and study the typology and what would be the way of, you know, break the box to find any invention in this type of typology. And then we will do site studies. We're trying to understand the physical and metaphysical context of the site and develop our strategy accordingly. And then, you know, Bu would come in and we would collaborate on that. We would work on, you know, sort of the architecture expression for the project, the programming for the project, the circulation, the exterior interior relationship of the architecture, the design strategy, and the interior space logic and so forth. And then we will move on to the production, because each time the competition has very limited amount of time, so we have to be very focused and very organized in a way in order for the production. Yes.
How much time do you have in general for one competition? For weeks? More or less?
Yeah, we supposed to have 4 weeks, but as we have lots of projects, we usually have like 1 or 2 weeks for a competition, which is like a quarter of the time which is required.
Well, that sounds really tough.
It's extremely intense.
Yes,
extremely intense.
It is. We work with a Germany company called Christoph Hess, I think. I believe you know him. I know a little bit about your step, your pace of working in Germany. We are, much more intense. So we are facing this conflict situation that employees want to have time to rest, but we have to keep things productive, very productive. You have to set up a team very specially built up in terms of the very delicate in the competition area, and also the very skillful people, and they are very have strong eager to go out and hunt.
That sounds like a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, it is.
Do you sometimes
for sure.
Do you sometimes sleep in the office then for 2 or 3 hours and then you start back working?
Yeah, at very beginning, usually we spend a week. At very beginning, Ying has usually have 3 or 4 nights of sleep this night, and then the rest is my part.
Yeah,
it's like a race. Yeah.
Yes, and when this competition is done, so you worked for 1 or 2 weeks really straight, do you take 2 days off to recover, or you do the next one?
We have ongoing in-progress projects. We have to let people rest for a couple days, have their mood set back, reset, and then come back to reality. They have to go to site, do the drawings, do the like daily works. But meanwhile, Ying set up a team, like a business development team. So they have to go out and browse through the website and looking for new competitions typically we have done, this year was really tough. We done, I think, 5 or 6 competition in 3 or 4 months. So we have some rest time. We have some rest time.
But 6 competition in 3 months, this is really...
Yeah, sometimes it's just very small. Sometimes we have like huge urban development, it's really difficult. But sometimes we have small projects, competition. Yeah.
And is there something or someone who inspires you for your projects? Is it nature or is it a special person from the architectural community, or where do you get your inspiration from?
You?
Well, from different areas we have, it's hard to say just one person. It could be like a group of intellects. We got inspired in different ways, maybe philosophy, art, history, literature, and so forth, or film, and so forth. So it's very difficult to say it's one person or two. We got influence and impact by so many, you know, things.
Ying is the person pick up concept really well. She looked for something like very conceptual level of thinking very well. So she look at the philosophy, really looking into how to challenge existing ideas. That was like a baseline of her thinking. Mine is a bit different. I have very strong image before. I have to have strong image in my head. When I was young, I was really looking into Peter Zumthor very well. I went to her buildings. I did buildings, got inspired from him. Nowadays, I was looking at, both of us really looking at photography from nature, the phenomenal behaviors of nature nowadays, because really the superficial, artificial aspect of our design is really developed nowadays. So we have to always go back to the primary status of our life. We have to go to looking into garden, mountain, river, geography, a lot.
So yeah, and sometimes it's probably just a feeling. When you look at the site, then you maybe have immediately a feeling what could fit there, how you imagine it.
Yes.
And then it's just, you cannot explain it. It's just a gift that you have.
Yes.
And you create something out of your feeling that came up.
Nowadays, we are setting our line very apart from commercial buildings. We have to create new language for architecture progress. So we really have to find the uniqueness away from existing language, existing product, existing design. We have to be honest and very bravery about ourselves. That's our issue we have to deal with.
But that's a really good point, which leads me to my next question. What importance has nature in your project? What's your approach in terms of climate change? Do you use special materials or whatever in terms of cooling down this burning earth we are living on?
Yes. We learn a lot in terms of sustainability in the United States. I was a lead LEED. In Europe, you guys have another standard, I think. In the United States,
yes,
they have LEED. So I was certified as LEED AP. We learn a lot about that, and the American and Europe scientists and architects did a lot. Already developed a very profound system of around sustainability. But in China, we have very different discourse. China is still a very low running energy country. I was shocked that in the United States you always have glass building towers and running AC 24 hours. But here we are still at the very beginning of this kind of game. So here we have standards. We have Chinese standards. But it's very easy to get it. Even we use the very strong rule, very similar to United States, but still very easy because we consume energy not as strong as United States or Europe. We have studies, we have comparisons. Here is low. We are very similar to India in some way.
Really?
Yes. We use very typical method of energy saving in China. It's totally fine. I think we are in very different stage of social society development currently. We are at very beginning of the energy consuming, but Europe and United States is already in their amateur time. That's a big differences between our societies. But your question is really about what kind of material do we use normally. But in here we use stone, we use tile, we use brick, we use concrete, we use a glass curtain wall. So I think we are kind of neutral about our selection. We are not like very enthusiastic about energy saving, but on the other side, we really looking into how can we introduce natural light into our building to get the artificial lighting cost down.
Sometimes I think the term sustainability is really commercialized.
Yes.
And it's like a little bit of an empty shell.
Yes.
Like everybody says, sustainable. But actually, for my taste, it's not happening enough.
Yes. I mean, for architects, we are like, sometimes we are artists, sometimes we are like product designer. You have to make sure the function works. So that part, we pick it up at that moment. But we work very closely with our engineers, like MEP engineers, so they will take care of it. We have three Germany projects going on in Kassel, Willingen, and then Malberg. Three projects in Germany. So they're looking at off-grid use, PV on top of the roof. You guys use like the oven burning wood, like using wood logs as heat source. We just adapt it. We adapt mm-hmm. your system, and then we design it. So it's okay for us. But we are...
Yes.
But the origin point of design in our firm is not for sustainability. We work with this function.
Yes, I think at some point like we as the human beings here, we do our best to maybe try to recover the planet.
Yes.
And if we fail, maybe we just die like the dinosaurs and someone else will take over and repair our world.
Yeah. This question, I think right now, currently is very sensitive. It really leads into like a political situation, especially in Europe, United States, freedom guys for Russia, how India is working in this situation, how China is working in this situation. But as architects, we are trying to set up new language. We are trying to review a new future as your topic. What's next?
What's next?
Yeah, we don't look at, you know, that aspect as our life. We are
mm-hmm.
we have to be very keen. The we have to work on what really architect should be.
That leads me to my last question. What means architecture for you personally?
Well, architecture means everything for me. It's architecture is everywhere. It's a sort of understanding about space and time, as the space and time has some sort of hierarchy or structure, or the architecture in space and time. That means it's architecture. It could be abstract or it could be physical. So both metaphysical and physical, you know, construct of architecture could be considered as architecture. And well, for me, it's just the difference between architecture and building. Like some of the buildings, they cannot be called architecture because they just have the, they only satisfy the pragmatic functions that's required. They're not really have any setup for space or time. They don't have any hierarchy. So we would call them not very architecture or not even architecture. Yes.
Yeah, I think architect for me is still very important. It's part of my philosophy, the materialized philosophy. We have to fulfill ourselves in some way. Architects, the best part of being an architect is that you use your drawings, you use your idea, you use your hands, and then you materialize yourself as a human being. I think that's the beauty of being architects. And also,
wow.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, it's really well said. Could stand in some book. Maybe you should write something.
I was a very shy little young man. I was very shy in high school, in university. And once I use my idea and become your creativity becomes something and helps something, and then you stand beneath the building. You stand in this area that you created. You feel so satisfied. You feel even it's your first job, your first works. Still, you feel yourself is fulfilled as a human being. You are like giving the. Otherwise, when I was very little, like 60 years old, I realized people are so small as a sand, as a little stone in the universe. So you have to believe that the being is very important as a people. I think that's the beauty of architects. Also designers, I mean, product designer, furniture designer is also something is good. But architect is slow, very slow. You have to be very strong. It's tough, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for this amazing interview. It was a pleasure talking to you. And
okay.
Yes, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao.